The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It seems that every so often there appears a new diet that is being promoted on TV, in magazines, and on the internet. A new diet that is going to help me lose weight, supercharge my energy, cleanse toxins from my body, and make my skin glow. There's the paleo diet, the DASH diet, zone diet, ketogenic diet, carnivore diet, China diet, grapefruit diet, Mediterranean diet, and on and on. Each promises to give my body what it really needs, and each has the same foil, the same villain from which it wants to save me, our typical Western diet of fast and processed food. But while there seems to be little agreement as to which is the right diet, there is agreement on this. What we put into our bodies makes a difference. What we put into our bodies makes a difference. And I think the same can be said for our spirits, our souls. What we feed our minds, our souls, our spirits makes a difference. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on gasoline, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. God himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing." Unquote. And yet often I think we forget that our spirits were designed to run on God. And we try all sorts of alternative fuels instead, alternative diets for our souls, our spirits. We try to achieve happiness and peace through entertainment or buying things, filling our lives with busyness. We sometimes think we are feeding our spirits when we feast on news sources that stir up the adrenaline in our bodies and fill us with energy. But what kind of energy? Positive or negative? Unitive or divisive? Loving or hateful? What kind of fuel we feed our minds, our souls, our spirits matters. For we are designed to run on God. Jesus tells us, I am the true vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Apart from the source of our soul's authentic fuel, you and I cannot bear authentic fruit. Just as the branches of a grapevine draw their sustenance from the vine, so our spirits, our souls, were created to draw their sustenance from the true vine, which is Christ. My friends, your presence here this morning indicates that there is at least a part of you, conscious or unconscious, that longs to feed your soul authentic fuel, to nurture your connection with Christ, the true vine. Some of you also seek connection with the true vine through adult forum or the Monday Bible study, centering prayer, still point, seek and you shall find, or some other soul-feeding activity. Some of you connect with the true vine through nature, God's first Bible. Many of you pray daily, read the Bible, or a daily devotional or other spiritual book. Many of you nurture the flow of Christ's Spirit into and through you by the loving work that you perform through your ministries, whether the ministry be focused within the church, altar guild, hospitality committee, building and grounds, vestry, etc., or outside the church, NAMI, meals on wheels, loaves and fishes, etc. The point is to remain connected to the true vine, to abide in the true vine, which is the source of the spiritual fuel we were created to run on. But even when we are connected to the true vine, we can run into the problem of having secondary branches attached to us which drain nourishment away from us, often faster than it is replenished from the true vine. This is why Jesus talks about the divine vine grower pruning away branches that bear no fruit, and even pruning some branches that do bear fruit in order that the remaining branches might bear more abundant fruit. Every year in March, I take some pruning shears and go out to my rose garden. Over the winter, some of the canes of my rose bushes have died, and I cut them out. Without much foliage on the bushes, it's also easy to see where suckers have grown up from the roots, or where horizontal branches have proliferated in the center of the rose bushes, potentially blocking the flow of air and causing black spot or mildew later in the season. And so I cut off the suckers and I cut out the branches in the middle of the bushes to allow better penetration of light and air. And throughout the summer, I deadhead my roses, cutting off the faded blooms so that the plant doesn't continue to pour energy into forming unwanted rose hips. I want every ounce of energy the plant has to go into producing beautiful, fragrant blooms, the fruit of the rose bush. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower, Jesus tells us. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Now, we all know that in our modern lives, there are countless distractions and attractions all around us, vying for our attention and a piece of our energies. Most of the worries, fears, and anger we allow to get to us are like sucker branches draining away the life coming from the true vine. Expanding on the vine image, I imagine our egos as being like the luxurious leaves produced by the branches, necessary to be sure, but only in a supporting role. For the grapevine's main purpose is producing grapes, not foliage, spirit, not ego. Episcopal priest and author Barbara Crafton notes that getting rid of those parts of our lives that are obviously detrimental is pretty straightforward, though not always easy. The really hard part comes in allowing good and sometimes fruit-bearing branches to be pruned away. Jesus says, "Every branch that bears fruit, the divine vine grower prunes to make it bear more fruit." In my rose garden, I sometimes have to prune away perfectly healthy branches, some bearing beautiful rose blossoms, which nonetheless are growing in the wrong direction, filling up the space in the middle of the rose bush, blocking the flow of air while promoting black spot and mildew. "Not every good thing points in the direction you want to go," notes Barbara Crafton. "And you can't go in every direction at once," unquote. Sometimes there are simply too many branches on the bush or the vine, so that none of the branches is getting the amount of nourishment it needs to produce the best, most abundant fruit possible. Our lives can become overly busy, even with good activities, for the sake of producing an abundance of the mature fruit of God's kingdom. Some of those good activities may nonetheless have to be pruned away. And we may prayerfully need to enlist the assistance of the divine vine grower to help us discern which good things in our individual or communal lives we should let go of, allowing the vine grower to prune them away. Jesus concludes today's gospel passage by saying, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Christian life is about bearing fruit and becoming disciples, followers of Jesus. What is the fruit of a disciple? A few chapters earlier in this same discourse with his disciples, Jesus told them what the fruit of discipleship is. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples," he says, "if you have love for one another." The fruit of discipleship, the fruit of those branches that abide in the vine, draw their life fuel from the vine and submit to the pruning of the divine vine grower, that fruit is love for one another. And so the question with which our gospel leaves us today is, I think, this: do you and I produce the fruit of love in our lives and in the world? If not, perhaps we have been nourishing ourselves from some alternative fuel source rather than abiding in the true vine and drawing from that vine the food our souls, our spirits were created to run on. Perhaps some of our branches are growing in the wrong direction. Perhaps there are too many secondary branches or suckers draining soul life from us. Perhaps we need to work with the divine vine grower to prune from us all that keeps us from producing the abundant fruit of love.